This is London Calling. Who Are the Irish? By Rod King. Read by William Williams. A Yucatrain Agus Asherede, or President and Friends. These warm words of respect were spoken by Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II at a state banquet speech in Dublin Castle during her first historic visit to the Republic of Ireland in May 2011. Ireland's President, Mary McAleese, had extended the invitation to the Queen to visit her country and was the first Irish leader to do so. The President was visibly surprised by the Queen's words and mouthed the word "Wow!" when she heard the Queen speak in Ireland's native Gaelic tongue. The Queen continued, "It is a sad and regrettable reality that through history our islands have experienced more than their fair share of heartache, turbulence, and loss. Why have the English and the Irish often had such a stormy relationship? The reason is partly due to the fact that they have common ancestral roots. In fact, genealogists can trace Elizabeth's lineage back through the Scottish kings to the Ardrai, High Kings of Ireland. For centuries, the Royal House of Ireland crowned their kings at Tara, west of Drogheda, in County Meath, on the same stone where English monarchs are now crowned in Westminster Abbey. To recognize why there have been many bloody brotherly conflicts, one must understand the nature of the four main peoples who have inhabited the Emerald Isles. So, let us see who the first Irish settlers were. Firbolg and Tuatha De Danann. The races that occupied the land, when the so-called Milesians came, chiefly the Firbolg and the Tuatha De Danann, were certainly not exterminated by the conquering Milesians. From the Story of the Irish Race, by Seamus McManus, page 1. The 3,500-year history of the Irish people is one of the most well-preserved accounts because it was conveyed from one generation to the next by the Saanichs, bards and storytellers. The ancient records were not recorded in books of writing that could be destroyed, but were instead passed down by the spoken word in long, rhyming verse. Not until The Four Masters, the book in which Macfirbis and Keating preserved the bard's words in the 17th century, did Ireland have an official written history. The Firbolg probably arrived in the middle of the 2nd millennium BC. According to Keating, they were of the posterity of Magog, son of Japheth. From the History of Ireland, Irish Texts Society, Book 1, page 139. Some scholars believe these people may well have been associated with the seafaring Phoenicians, who were well known to have mined copper, lead, tin, and gold in the British Isles. Irish gold is still a sought-after precious metal, and new gold mines have recently been opened in counties Tyrone and Wexford. The Firbolg's hold on the isle was soon to be challenged by a new invader, the Tuatha De Danann. The word Tuatha means tribe. They were from the tribe of Dan, son of Jacob. In Judges chapter 5, verse 17, the Israelite judge Deborah, circa 12th century BC, sang a song that includes the words, "Why did Dan remain on ships?" The Danites were well known as seafarers along with their Phoenician neighbors, plying the Mediterranean and beyond the Pillars of Hercules, or the Rock of Gibraltar, into the Atlantic Ocean and on to Britain and Ireland. Some suggest that they made their first migration from Egypt just before the Exodus, 1446 BC, and that a second wave followed in 1213 BC. Macfirbis, in the mid-17th century, wrote that everyone who is fair-haired, of large size, fond of music and horse riding, and practices the art of magic, is of the Tuatha De Danann descent. From the History of Ireland, Thomas Kelly, page 25. Maybe their descendants today are not as involved in magic, though horse racing is still a passion of the Irish, and Irish music is synonymous with good times and maybe just a little of the Guinness. The Milesians. The next wave of migration arrived at the time of King Solomon, circa 1000 BC. Solomon's lineage followed Pharez of the half-tribe of Judah. See Genesis chapter 38, verses 28 to 30. The other part of the tribe traveled to Asia Minor, becoming known as the Milesians, after the city of Miletus. They were possessed of a high degree of political unity, had a single king, and a wise and constant external policy. McManus, page 7. The Milesians fought the De Danann, routing them and killing their three kings. they soon established their own royal line and crowned their kings at Tara on the Liefael, or Stone of Destiny. The Milesians were later to settle mainly in the north. Their kings were named the Ardri, or the High Kings, over the lesser kings of the many Irish tribes. History records an amazing number of customs and laws introduced into Ireland by the Milesians that closely resemble the statutes and judgments given by Moses to the Israelites during their wilderness years, 1446 to 1406 BC. Here are just a few. The stock borrowed from a noble was returned at the end of 7 years. McManus, page 293. See Leviticus, chapter 25, verses 1 through 10. The greater part of the tribal land was free for the use of all the people of the tribe. Same source, page 293. See Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 34. The system in Ireland was something more like the patriarchal system of the East. Same source, page 294. No person, says the law, shall be oppressed in his difficulty. Same source, page 294. See Leviticus, chapter 25, verse 35. He, the priest or king, had to be without physical deficiency or deformity. Same source, page 295. Leviticus, chapter 21, verses 17 to 23. The Scots. Ireland was for centuries called Scotia. The name is derived from the Scyths. McManus states, they, the Gaels, came out of that vast undefined tract called Scythia. They came to Ireland through Egypt, Crete, and Spain. Same source, page 8. While in Egypt, Niall, grandson of Gael, married Scota, the pharaoh's daughter. The very name Gaul is derived from Gael, these people whom the Greeks called Celts, or Celtoi. This establishes the Irish as one of the great Celtic nations, along with the Scots, Cornish, Bretons, Walloons of Belgium, and Welsh. In fact, the French name for Wales is Le Pays des Gaules, the land of the Gauls. Celtic ancestry can also be traced to many of the Swiss, as well as the Celto-Iberians in Spain and the Galatians of the New Testament. The Milesian, Ardri, took the Liefael, coronation stone, with them to Argyll, Scotland, in 470 AD and later to Scone. The English brought it to Westminster Abbey to crown most of their kings and queens. Many of the Scottish descendants returned in successive waves of migration to Ulster between 1605 and 1697, which has aggravated the De Danann Southern Irish to this day. The Queen's reference to the heartache, turbulence, and loss of the Irish suffering at the hands of English overlords was but a brief and cursory reference to what were for the Southern Irish to become painful and bitter memories passed down from generation to generation. Yet her visit and her words seemed to many observers to signal the beginning of a healing between brothers of Israel. Will it continue? Only time will tell. Request your free booklet, The United States and Great Britain in Prophecy.